Live from Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. This weekend, thousands of people will descend on downtown Sacramento to taste, sip, and sample some of the best food and wine our area has to offer. It's the annual Farm to Fork Street Festival. It starts Friday afternoon and runs all day Saturday along Capitol Mall. For those who have lived in the area for a while, you may remember that the city of Sacramento embraced the Farm to Fork mantra 10 years ago as a way to celebrate the diversity of what we grow here and show off a little bit to the rest of the country. Mike Testa is with Visit Sacramento, which is responsible for making the Farm to Fork Festival happen. And we have the owners of the Sugar Sweetery, Justine and Candace Cabanilla, one of the many small businesses that will be at the festival this weekend. Good morning to you, all of you, all three of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, Mark, I want to start with you because time has really flown. This year's going to be the 10th annual Farm to Fork Festival. When you go back to the first year to now, I mean, what stands out to you about this evolution?
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, that first year, you hope you can pull it off. We hoped that people would show up, and certainly 20,000 of them did. So you fast forward 10 years from now, we get well over 100,000 people out there. And this event celebrates the agricultural heritage of this community. You come out and you meet the farmers. You talk to the wine grape growers. You talk to everybody that makes our food system go. So the fact that 10 years later, we're still here, that the event is as big as it is, mm-hmm. is really a testament to people taking pride, I think, in the agricultural aspect of our community and celebrating the Sacramento region.
I mean, of course, you had an idea. The light bulb went off. But when you look back at the last 10 years, what stands out to you about the biggest impact this festival has had on Sacramento?
I think the Farm to Fork movement in general has changed the national narrative on Sacramento. Mm-hmm. You know, in the past, national newspapers would write about the gold rush of 1849 and that heritage in Sacramento, which is certainly valuable and important. But now, you know, we're seeing articles in the Wall Street Journal on the five fastest mid-sized food cities in the country, and Sacramento is one of them. We attracted the Michelin Guide to our market because of Farm to Fork. So there's a lot of things that are culinary in Sacramento that we did not have 10 years ago when this started.
Mm. When it comes to how it's also grown by people who are part of the festival, all of the vendors and small businesses, that has grown tremendously as well.
It really has. Again, that first year, you know, we took a few blocks on Capitol Mall, and now we take the majority of Capitol Mall and all the side streets. The footprint of the festival is essentially a mile long. So, you know, it helps when you get the attention that you get. It makes other vendors want to be part mm-hmm. of it. So we've really expanded that network, and it's a huge variety of people who come out. And, you know, we're very selective. You're not going to see craft vendors in the typical mm-hmm. festival sense. It's really food-centric that we try to do out there.
This year you had a festival impact grant. What was that going to accomplish?
Well, the idea was to make sure that the festival is accessible to everybody. Obviously, there's a cost to get in to sell your product there. And not everybody can afford that, especially some of the newer businesses. So we worked with Bank of America to set up essentially a scholarship fund to identify some groups that wanted to be a part of it, that had some barriers to getting in. Their cost to register at the event was covered. And, you know, last year we did it as well. And there was a barbecue sauce company that had a line down the street, and they were so thrilled at the exposure. Obviously, they sold a lot of product, but they got an exposure they hadn't seen before.
Yeah. Well, that brings me to Justine and Candace. What was your awareness, your familiarity with the Farm to Fork Festival before you two are going to be part of it?
Definitely, we had attended the event last year, and we've known about how much it's grown. It's definitely something within the food community, within the vendor small community. It's an elite status to go and be a part of that. So we are completely honored to be a part of it this year.
Yeah. Justine, what stands out to you about what you hope to enjoy and partake in this weekend?
Of course, all the delicious food. I'm very excited about some of the new musical acts that are coming. They have demonstrations that are really cool. I think the whole weekend is just going to be full of fun and excitement and tasty food.
And also more exposure for the both of you.
Yes.
And your business. Talk to us about your business. It's in Rancho Cordova.
Right. We're based out of Rancho Cordova. We do operate out of a commercial kitchen. We're primarily like an online-based bakery where you can custom order your birthday celebration cakes and cookies. We also are very active in the community with decorating classes and pop-up events.
That is awesome. I saw the website and it definitely got me hungry. it looks just delicious and also beautiful, almost too beautiful to eat. But of course, it tastes delicious. You know, what do festivals hopefully add for your exposure for a business like the Sugar Sweetery?
And for us, it's just like getting uncovered of, you mm-hmm. know, people who maybe didn't know we existed or maybe corporations that didn't know that we do certain things. So it's kind of nice to just get that exposure, meet new people. And then honestly, sometimes, I mean, we work a lot of hours to get this product out and to meet someone face to face and have them taste it in front of us and tell us how amazing it is. That's gratification enough to just get that reward.
Mm. And you're seeing like the satisfaction of this grant really come to fruition with businesses like this, Mike.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Again, you know, there are so many people that come down to this event, and it's a great way to gain that exposure. Like she said, you know, not a lot of people may be aware of what they're doing. So this is something that all of a sudden a giant spotlight is on them. So hopefully that carries past the festival as well.
Yeah, and extends that diversity, not only from what we grow, but the businesses, you know, behind the food that we grow and we make and we put together on your website. I mean, you lay it out very clearly. You are minority owned, you're women owned, you're queer owned, you're veteran owned. Given that you opened your business back in 2016, it's been, you know, 7 years or so. How has Sacramento evolved in terms of being welcome to entrepreneurs of all backgrounds?
This community is really special. Amazing. In the way that they support. They really come out, promote, and just lift us all up. We are really active in our small community of vendors. And just all of them are so supportive.
Yeah, definitely. I think Sacramento loves small businesses. They love these micro businesses. They love people who have a niche to them. Like, so it's really cool just to see the community come out mm-hmm. time after time. I also host craft events. So it's really cool just to even meet people in Sacramento who have a talent that, like, you can't find at Target or Walmart, you know? And I think that Sacramento, that's where their blood draws, is like, you made this. You're from Sacramento. I'm going to support you.
Yeah. Given that you are the veteran part of this, Candace, I mean, talk to us about your journey from the Army to selling pastry. And cookies.
I mean, it's a long journey. you know, I was much younger, was fresh out of high school. I actually got kicked out of the Army for the don't ask, don't tell policy. So, you know, I've had a lot of adversity in my life. But, you know, I've always learned from my grandparents who came over here as immigrants to work hard. They had, you know, a lot of small businesses growing up. And I'm like, when I met Justine and she started doing the baking on the side and I saw it as a business, I kind of always had that entrepreneurial like fire inside of me. And so I was like, hey, how about if we try this, see if it works? If not, we'll go back mm-hmm. to corporate life and we'll be fine. And because we come from different backgrounds, I come from retail, she comes from accounting, she's got this creative, amazing imagination when it comes to baked goods. It kind of just all was like a puzzle. It came together so perfectly. And we're really homegrown. Like, people that try our stuff, they pass on the word of mouth. Hey, I had this at this party. You've got to try it. And that's what's grown us truly, is just word of mouth and people who have genuinely met us or tried our treats.
Yeah, Justine, I mean, how has it been like teaming up with your partner, you know, in personal life and professional life as well with the baking business?
It's a roller coaster, but we make it work. We've been really busy, and I'm so thankful for Candace that she wanted to jump into my passion for baking and create something amazing with the business that we've developed over the years. So I'm very grateful that we have this opportunity and that people come out and really support us.
You know, given that this started as a side hustle and the two of you, you know, took that risk, you embraced it, and now you have a successful business, you know, you also help others with this as well, right, Candace?
Absolutely, yeah. So I run SAC Vendor Connect, and I do events. I host different events, but I also mentor small businesses, helping them, you know, with the permittings that they may need, helping them with their booth setups, their product marketing. I feature them on my page just to get them some extra exposure, you know, and then I also like to do philanthropy, so giving back to any charities mm-hmm. or anything that's special and means something to us. We try to include that in every event that we do as well, just to make sure, even though we're small fries, we can, you know, pass on a message.
Yeah. I mean, having a great idea and a great product is one thing, but getting it off the ground and making it a reality is a completely different ballgame.
100%. And yeah. Then, you know, a lot of these crafters aren't savvy in the tech world, and really trying to explain to them, if you get your exposure out there, you're going to, you know, people are going to be able to see you and be able to get your product. And it's amazing that I can kind of connect those two.
You know, Mike, what does this tell us about the entrepreneurial community in Sacramento?
Well, everything they're saying is something I've heard a million times before. She's absolutely right. This is Sacramento, right? These are the people in Sacramento who do these things. And that's one of the things that we love about the festival. It's very Sacramento-centric. You're mm-hmm. seeing your neighbors, the people who grow things in this region who are incredibly creative, especially with food. So I agree with you. I looked at their website. I will be at their booth on Saturday because it looks incredible.
Yeah, it's beautiful. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we are talking all things farm to fork ahead of the annual street festival along Capitol Mall this weekend. Okay, Mike, what are some new things people should know about?
So, you know, we have cooking demo stages as we've had in the past. Mm-hmm. There are three different stages that are programmed throughout the weekend. We have celebrity chef Tyler Florence, who reached out to us this year and is doing a special paid event within the festival. He's got these 45-day dry-aged tomahawk, this incredible barbecue area. We've got a chef's area, a grand tasting with some of the best chefs in Sacramento creating. And then the musical acts. We have Ben Harper and the Innocent Criminals, Michael Fronte and Spearhead, Cannons. If you like the guitar, Eric Gales is an aficionado, Daniel Ponder. So the best part about everything I just said, with the exception of Tyler Florence and the Grand Tasting, it's all free. All those bands are free. Come out and see Ben Harper and Michael Fronte. These are some incredible musicians. And again, help us to celebrate everything Sacramento.
Any idea how many people you can expect this weekend? Because it grows every year.
It really does. The weather looks phenomenal. That's always something that helps to dictate attendance. We've definitely, over the 2 days, seen over 100,000 people. I think the caliber of bands that we have are going to attract even more. So, you know, we advertise this event outside of the market as well. Our job at Visit Sacramento is to get people to come and stay in hotels. So a lot of advertising in the Bay Area, and I expect we'll have a full crowd all weekend.
Yeah, what is that hotel occupancy looking like? Do you have an idea for this weekend?
It's tough to say. We have conversations with hotel GMs, and they said they're doing pretty well. So if you ask me that next week, I'll have a better answer, but it feels like it's going to be in a good place.
Yeah, and Tyler Florence is obviously a celebrity chef, part of Food Network, but you two are going to make an appearance, right? On Food Network, right, Justine and Candace?
Actually, it's just me. It was a solo cookie challenge. I will be on Food Network's Halloween cookie challenge on October 9th.
Oh my gosh. How was the experience?
It was a lot of fun. I got to meet Chef Duff Goldman and Rosanna Pensino. Got to show off some of my cookie skills and hopefully represent Sacramento really well.
Oh, I'm sure you did. And Candace, you must have been, you know, excited and nervous for her.
Oh my God, I'm like so excited to see her on TV. I'm like, when does your show air? I've been on a countdown for months.
I also think these events might also help with networking for local businesses like yours.
Oh, definitely. I like to call myself the business card collector. I love to meet people, get their business cards, and then start to follow them and learn about their story and their journey, where they came from.
Mm. You know, Mike, I have to remember, I mean, you've been on Insight, you know, many times. The last time was back in April, in the spring, and we talked about the city's effort to revitalize, you know, post-COVID with shutdowns, and also the success of the Kings and right. How that really reinvigorated the city center again. But have there been any new wins since April that the city is celebrating?
I think there's been a steady increase in what we're seeing, not only from a visitor standpoint, but folks starting to come back downtown. When I look at the city's tax collection for hotel rooms, we are at pre-COVID numbers. So that part's been great, that the visitor has returned. And, you know, you look at some of the big events that are produced, especially this time of year, when you've got Farm to Fork, when you've got Aftershock, mm-hmm. Golden Sky, and Iron Man next month. When I look at the tax collections that the city does, over the largest convention month we have is January. And if you compare January to October, October is up mm-hmm. well over $1.3 million in hotel taxes. So a lot of these events like Farm to Fork or Iron Man or Aftershock are bringing in a ton of visitors and really supporting the economy. And then, you know, you talk about bringing vendors out to festivals. All those festivals are doing that as well. So we're trying to create other opportunities mm-hmm. besides your brick and mortar of being able to come out to festivals and maybe meet a new customer.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about the city center, you think about all of the businesses at the city center. When you did, there is the challenge, I think it still exists, of office vacancies
yeah.
and wanting to keep the workforce in the city center to utilize those businesses. What does that look like now? Has that been improving?
You know, I'd like to say it has. It feels fairly static from where it's been. It's still a challenge in the sense that we don't have state office workers back. Most of them are working remotely. So that's about 87,000 people that were in our downtown on any given business day. So the fact that the majority of them are not there certainly is impacting businesses, especially restaurants from a lunch standpoint. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some things we're trying to put together along with the Downtown Partnership and the Midtown Association to improve that. But, you know, the reality is when you've relied on office workers for so long and suddenly that it turns off. Mm-hmm. It's not a quick fix. It's probably a bit of a slow rebuild, but I think we have made some progress.
After this weekend, what is the next big event that you're looking forward to for Sacramento?
So we take a weekend off and then we roll
well
into
deserved.
Thank you. And then we roll into Aftershock. Aftershock is the largest hard rock festival on the West Coast, 160,000 people over 4 days. The weekend after that, we host Golden Sky, which is the country version of that. Last year, that was 50,000 people. We expect it to be closer to 75 this year. And the weekend after that is the the Ironman competition. Wow. So it's a crazy couple of months, but it's a huge impact to our businesses. So we're thrilled to be doing it.
Something for everyone.
Yes, something for everyone. Whether you want to eat, whether you want to rock out, or whether you want to exercise, you are covered in Sacramento.
Burn lots of calories.
Yes.
Justin and Candace, I want to end with you. If there's someone who wants to open their own business, doesn't really have the confidence right now, know where to start, what advice do you have for them? Because both of you made this a reality.
I think we always just tell people to try. Yeah. If you don't make that leap, or if you don't fuel your fire, it's just going to burn out. And, you got to take that leap and do the research of what you need to get done to get off the ground. I would say that to start there first and just see if it could be a reality.
Well, Justine and Candace, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Mike, always a pleasure.
Thanks, Vicky.
Mike Testa is the president and CEO of Visit Sacramento, joined by co-owners Justine and Candace Cabanilla, who are the owners of Sugar Sweetery. We have posted all the links to the street festival this weekend and to Sugar Sweetery at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio. I'm Vicky Gonzalez. We are back in just a few moments. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Google best music collaborations, and you'll get an interesting mix of results from Tom Petty and Stevie Nicks to Run DMC and Aerosmith, Queen and David Bowie, Metallica and the San Francisco Symphony, as well as the Beatles and Eric Clapton. Well, this weekend, in the spirit of epic collabs, you have an opportunity to experience a very special performance right here in Sacramento at the Crest Theater Saturday night. It is called the Beatles Guitar Project Rock Orchestra, and it's a collaboration of several local vocalists and a rock orchestra directed by Benjamin McClara. They're going to be performing Beatles songs from the Rooftop set, along with songs from the Let It Be album and John Lennon single. The second set of the show features the entire Abbey Road album, with a few surprises, of course, along the way. Aside from the music, the best part of all of this is that all of these proceeds will benefit kids right here in the Sacramento area. Joining us is Cap Radio's midday classical host, Jennifer Reason, along with Benjamin McClara, the music director of the Beatles Guitar Project Rock Orchestra. That's so much fun to say. Good morning.
Good morning. It's so much fun to hear.
All right, Benjamin, I want to start with you. Let's get to the origin story of how this rock orchestra project came about.
We needed to raise money. We're a nonprofit organization, just like Cap Radio. And in 2016, we were building our music studios at the Clara, renovating some studios and turning one big classroom into four studios. We needed to raise a bunch of money. And my students had learned most of Sgt. Pepper's. And so we decided to perform all of Sgt. Pepper's with the help of our friends. No pun intended. No, we really did need some friends. And we raised about $25,000 and renovated our studio. So that kind of like set the path of the Beatles Guitar Project. I think we started calling it the Beatles Guitar Project by 2017, the first time we played at the Crest.
Wow. And I mean, at the root of this is the Sacramento Music Preparatory Academy. Tell us about it and all the services that you provide.
Yeah. Our nonprofit is Sacramento Preparatory Music Academy, and you can look us up at sacprepmusic.com. And we have all sorts of information on there about our nonprofit. Our mission is to provide lifelong access to music education. And we have some other visions and stuff that goes along with that. And one of that is to be able to bring our students together with professional musicians on a stage and provide them a platform where they can succeed.
Mm. And that includes Jennifer.
It surely does.
How did you get roped into all of this?
Well, honestly, I watched it get started and was like, oh my gosh, that looks like so much fun. And Ben finally called me, and I've been playing with them, I think, for 5 years now. Facebook informed me yesterday. So I'm keyboard.
What is the best part about performing music from the Beatles?
Oh my God. I mean, I grew up with those songs. Yeah. My dad made me listen to the Beatles when I was a tiny kid. So making him proud.
They're all good songs. Mm-hmm. Every single one of them. You just can't go wrong. It's just, we do a lot of these concerts in album order. So that takes a lot of the pressure off of, like, you know, how do you create a set list? You know, because we present it in album order. Even when we do the White Album, we have a White Album tour coming up in November for the 55th anniversary. We've done anniversary shows for a lot of albums. We've done anniversary shows for Sgt. Pepper's. We did the I'm wearing a t-shirt for the 50th anniversary of Abbey Road, which we did in 2019.
That was fun.
So here we are, you know, however many years later. 5 years. This is the 55th anniversary now, almost.
Yeah, I mean, and you obviously have developed and grown a following. I mean, this is a pretty popular thing for fans.
It has. The fans in Sacramento understand. They get it. We see them at all of our shows. They understand we're not a touring national cover band. There's a lot of connotation that goes along with that. You know, band comes into town, they're fabulous, and they have wigs, and they look great on stage. They come and they play a great show, and then they leave town, and that's it. But we don't do that. We're homegrown.
Yeah. You know, I led with one of, like, these famous collaborations, Metallica at the San Francisco Symphony. Is that a fair comparison?
It's my favorite album.
Of what people are in for this weekend?
I think it's a very, very fair comparison to what my job is. And I kind of started to realize the endless possibility of my position as artistic director of this group. And Jennifer is a perfect example. I have to write this music out. I have to score it. I have to transcribe it. We made a huge mistake in rehearsal on Sunday last weekend, and we were like, let's do Dig a Pony. And Jennifer's like, I don't have a part for that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, how did I forget that? And so I went home and transcribed Dig a Pony
because
like that
you're a
night.
Rock star.
And I was like, can you just like listen to this and play off a lead
yeah,
sheet?
No
and
worries.
Then I'm like, no, that's not good enough. Like I need to like really write out exactly what it sounds like. And so that has been something that I've become better at over the years. And sometimes I get a real wild hair and I go, you know, I'm really inspired by Debussy lately. So I wrote a piano part for one of our encores.
Surprise.
It's a surprise. But I wrote this piano part for a Beatles song that doesn't have any piano in it.
It's really beautiful, too.
And it's gorgeous.
Yeah, it
and
is.
I was like, you know, the whole time writing it, I'm like, she's going to be so fantastic writing this. This is so Jennifer Reason.
Yay.
I love this. This is great.
And that's just at the heart of it, right? Like having fun and being creative.
It really is. I mean, you know, a week ago I woke up and I was like, I'm going to write Barry Sachs parts for Raul Sandoval.
Yeah.
And Raul plays with Hans Eberbach, who's also on the show, in Joy and Madness. And he's one of the most fantastic Barry players in all of Sacramento, and he's in my band. And mm-hmm. It's just like, wow.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio, and we're talking with Cap Radio's Jennifer Reason and music director Benjamin McClara about this Saturday night's performance of the Beatles Guitar Project Rock Orchestra, and it's happening at the Crest Theater this weekend. Okay, so we've been talking about the music. Let's get a sense of what the music is actually going to be like this weekend. So let's start off with a rendition of Penny Lane. Oh, it's just like you're there.
It's so fun.
I love all the cheering.
Yeah,
it's pretty amazing. It's very amazing. You know, when I listen to that, I can hear it sounds like Memorial Auditorium. That recording was from Memorial Auditorium last year. We presented Sgt. Pepper's and Magical Mystery Tour back to back, and when I listen to that music, I can see Jennifer playing piano. I can see my violin players upstrokes on all of that, just pounding away quarter notes, and just it swings so hard on stage, and it's really fun.
All right, let's move on to I Am the Walrus.
Joker laughs at you.
I wish listeners can see what's going on inside the booth right now.
A little rock party of our own in here.
I know. I love it. I mean, there are some like heavy hitters here locally. Jennifer, talk to us about some of the people that are taking part in this.
Oh my gosh. This is one of the things that's super great about this band is it brings all of Sacramento music together. The classical people, the jazz cats, the rock and roll. We've got Hans. We've got the one and only Peter Petty. We've got Kitty O'Neill. Jessica Malone joins us sometimes. And Raul, all of these incredible people on one stage to have a blast and to raise money for kids' education. There's just nothing like it.
Yeah, that energy is just palpable.
100%.
This station, doing this interview at this station means a lot to me too, because I graduated from Sac State. You know, I did a lot of my master's degree here. I met all these musicians here and I just keep hiring them back and saying, hey, you want to do this again? And they're like, yeah, absolutely. I want to do this again. And, you know, that show was very special. That was like the first show after we got out of COVID. Mm. And we went out of town and played at San Rafael. And it was like insane. That was, the energy was phenomenal. It was so exciting.
Yeah, I mean, you just think about all that built up, like pressure, like, you know, like a champagne bottle.
Right.
Just taking,
yeah,
popping the
cork
off.
That's exactly what it felt like.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... Man, it's hard to describe. You got to be there.
Yep. Well, we're getting a taste of it. The next one we're going to listen to is While My Guitar Gently Weeps. That guitar solo.
His friends.
Actually, that's my student. That's a
stop it!
Student.
I thought it was great.
That's Julian Ertz. He's about to graduate from high school.
What?
And he's he played that solo. That solo was While My Guitar Gently Weeps. That was live at the Safe Pack. It was the same tour right after COVID. And Greg played the first solo.
Oh my
and
God.
We gave the second solo to Julian.
This is the point of the entire thing, that was a child. I thought it was Greg, who's an incredible guitarist. And that kid came up in this school. That's why this matters. That was amazing.
Yeah, and all of the proceeds go towards helping
the scholarship fund,
especially for both of you as musicians from this area. You have grown up in this scene, and then now you're mentoring and shaping younger generations. And that's really, I mean, the music is wonderful. I mean, it's a blast. Everyone's going to have a great time, you know, but at the heart of this is furthering, you know, music education locally here at home.
100%. Yeah. Well, music lessons are expensive, especially if you're going to study privately. It can be quite the barrier.
Right now I have 5 classes. I have 2 guitar classes. I have, my classes are, you know, 35 kids. I have a ukulele class of 40 kids. And this is in public schools. These are classes that are not yet funded by Prop 28, which is supposed to change the arts in California. We're not going to see that funding until next year. Like we're waiting 6 months to see any sort of help from that proposition. We are desperate for funding. You know, we got to raise it on our own. That's what this is all about.
Yeah. Well, let's take a listen to Gotta Get You Into My Life. All right, in the last minute or so we got to get to logistics. So it's this weekend, but there's also another opportunity next weekend too, right?
There is. We're going a very short distance out of Sacramento to the town of Vacaville.
My hometown.
Hello, Vacaville.
Hello, Vacaville.
We see you out there, Vacaville. We're coming to you next weekend on Friday night at the VPAT, which is Vacaville Performing Arts Theater. And that's a Friday night show at 7 o'clock.
Awesome. I want to get to the last clip that you sent, and this one's Rain. This is the perfect sampler for all of the fun that people are going to be taking in. But Jennifer, there's also a little bit of a promotion, too.
For listeners today, it's SPMA Beatles if you want to attend for 20% off just for you.
If you just need another reason.
Exactly.
We already had like five reasons to go. Well, thank you both so much, Benjamin and Jennifer.
Thank you so much for having us.
That is Cap Radio classical music host Jennifer Reason and Benjamin McClara, the music director of the Beatles Guitar Project Rock Orchestra. All of that information is posted on our Insight page. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment. Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The 60th Monterey Jazz Festival is this weekend, with headliners including the likes of Herbie Hancock, Diane Reeves, and Thundercat. Each year, the festival also features several student bands, like the Next Generation Women in Jazz Combo, which was created back in 2019 to feature top high school female jazz players from across the country. Only six students get in, and this year, two of them happen to be from right here in Sacramento. Not only that, but they also have been going to the same summer music camp for several years. Cap Radio's Excellence in Jazz host Avery Jeffrey recently sat down with the two students to discuss their journey to Monterey.
The Tea Garden Jazz Camp is a long-standing Sacramento tradition and has been going since 1986. It's a summer music program for teens to learn traditional jazz and early Americana, and it's supported by the Sacramento Jazz Education Foundation. When you go to camp, you learn music theory and improvisation, and you get to be in your own jazz band.
They make it such a welcoming environment, and they put you with people that are the same level as you, and they all really want you to get better.
That's Salome Ospina. Her and Paloma Cobb Silva are two longtime campers and now high schoolers who have been selected to perform at this year's Monterey Jazz Festival as a part of the Next Generation Women in Jazz Combo. Paloma Cobb Silva will be playing clarinet in the band.
I'm a senior at Rio Americano High School. I started playing the clarinet in fourth grade. I went to Detterding Elementary School. There, it's actually required to be in the band program. They start everyone on the recorders, the little plastic recorders. For some reason, I just seem to excel at the recorder. My band director pulled me aside. She wanted to promote me to an actual instrument. So I chose the clarinet because it seemed the most like the recorder. I actually taught myself how to play music off of YouTube because I wasn't able to afford any classical lessons.
Salome Ospina is playing piano in the group.
I am a junior and I go to Rio Americano High School. My parents are both musicians. I've been surrounded by music even before I was born. And I started playing piano when I was six. I played classical, entirely classical, until about when COVID started. I was never really in a school band until I came to Rio. And I feel really fortunate to have found a place at Rio where I can use my abilities.
So tell me exactly how the two of you met.
We went to the Tea Garden Jazz Camp, which is an amazing jazz camp ran by the Sacramento Jazz Education Foundation. I went summer before eighth grade, her summer before seventh grade. That's technically where we met. So it's a week-long camp up in Sly Park.
They make it such a welcoming environment. And they put you with people that are the same level as you, and they all really want you to get better. The amount of time you spend with your band, you start to form a relationship with the other musicians, and that's all that jazz is about, being able to communicate.
When I went, that was the first time I was ever ever had the access to jazz education like that. That's really what sparked it for me and what made me realize how amazing jazz is.
The camp is sponsored by the Sacramento Jazz Education Foundation, and they also sponsor a youth honor band that you're both members of. Tell me about that.
Yeah, TNT.
TNT.
The New Traditionalist. So we've been in it for a minute, and it's just such a fun band to be a part of and to be able to play the traditional style of jazz. I'm so fortunate to do that because that's my passion.
In this band, we rehearse weekly, and just having that consistency and being able to play music with other high schoolers is just amazing.
And then we get opportunities to play gigs around town,
yeah.
And it's really fun.
So tell me, how does it feel to know you're playing at Monterey this year?
Well, for me, it's just an absolute dream come true. I've actually been trying to get into this group ever since freshman year. And now that I'm a senior, it's kind of a big accomplishment. It seems like there's just so much opportunity for us.
Definitely.
At this festival with having the chance to meet musicians our age from all across the country. It's just such a blessing.
Just the fact that it's a six-person combo, right, from the whole country, but I've known someone that's in this combo. We go to the same school.
Which is, it's just really awesome that we both get this opportunity.
Are there rehearsals for this? Do you have any idea what you're going to be playing at all?
We have a few rehearsals with the band, but it's mostly master classes. Our leader, Katie Thoreau, said we get 6 hours of rehearsal time.
I'm lucky enough to be able to practice with Paloma.
Yeah, we're really lucky. We've been practicing a lot. In regards to the music we're playing, Salome has a composition, an original composition. I have an original composition. And a lot of the girls in the group are arranging tunes, too.
We have a lot of ideas, but I think in the end we're going to do either mostly or entirely compositions and arrangements.
Paloma and Salome's talents for performing and composing have landed them a spot at Monterey. But they also play all over town in and around Sacramento, both in TNT and in their own groups. Places like Old Sac, Xochimilco Mexican Restaurant, and Straw Hat Pizza.
We were also lucky enough last year to go to the GEN Conference, which is
Jazz Education Network.
Huge deal, right?
Yeah.
Incredible experience. We went to Orlando, Florida to play and to just go watch and learn from a bunch of amazing people.
How would you describe the Sacramento music scene?
I think it has a little bit of everything, honestly.
It does.
And it's also very small. Once you get into it, you can meet everybody and you kind of see everybody everywhere at different times. And it's a really tight community.
Everyone is just kind. And if you go up to them, talk to them, ask them a question, they all really want to give back. And they're also really enthusiastic when they see people our age going to their shows.
People are definitely very supportive. It just makes playing music fun.
That's what it's all about.
Performing at Monterey Jazz Festival, it's a pretty big deal, no doubt inspiring. What advice would you give to other young women who want to get into playing jazz?
My biggest piece of advice would be to keep going and not give up. There have been many cases where girls kind of start quitting music through high school. Because of the pressures of being a woman in jazz. It can be very scary, and there are a lot of horror stories. But if this is what you love doing, and you know you want to do it, then you got to do it. And know that there is a very big community of women in jazz. We all love each other and support each other. Just don't give up.
For Cap Radio Classical and Jazz, I'm Avery Jeffrey.
The Next Generation Women in Jazz Combo will perform twice at the Monterey Jazz Festival, once on Saturday and again on Sunday. You can see the entire schedule at montereyjazzfestival.org. Back here in Sacramento, though, you can hear Paloma Cobb Silva on October 20th at Twin Lotus Thai performing the music of Art Blakey. And look out for Salome Ospina in the upcoming season of the Camellia Symphony. Information on how to get your student involved in the Tea Garden Jazz Camp with the Sacramento Jazz Education Foundation is at sacjef.org. And that is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast. If you want to join the conversation, email us at insight@capradio.org. Thank you to Managing Editor Aram Sarkissian. Our digital producer is Claire Morgan. Insight's technical director is Mark Jones. And our show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend.